Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Gorgeous Saturday. Finally, the sun's out. June gloom went on 4 months from April. Happy Saturday to you. I'm going to go after a term today called hormonal balance on the tip of everybody's tongue. Yes, if you're involved and interested in holistic nutrition, that's a word you know well, hormonal balance. And what I'm going to go after today are the misconceptions around the word. I'd even like to replace the word with something that doesn't use the word hormone. Because the word hormonal balance, it implies get the hormone panel that tells you where your estrogen is, your testosterone, your DHA, your pregnenolone, your progesterone, your thyroid, so on and so forth. The list is endless. And throw them up on a computer graph and compare them to the year before, and then take in the, well, biocompatible at best, the biocompatible hormone solutions to bring something up, to bring something down, to balance it all out, and we live happily ever after. My problem with it is I don't really see it producing anything close to the outstanding results it's supposed to. And I think it sums up the word hormonal balance into an action, something you do because you know that something that's going on is hormonal. So you don't get your erections anymore. Your vagina is drying out because you're 60 and you don't like that. You're losing your hair. Around your period or around your menopause, there's hot flashes. And on the basis of the symptom that you can attach, you, John Q. Public, can attach to your hormone, you decide your hormones are out of balance and you're going to do something about it. So you run off to your endocrinologist, to your holistic MD, whoever it might be, and they do these panels and they balance your hormones based on the panel. And yeah, you do feel a little better. And here's what it costs you. It costs you an understanding of what we mean by hormone or endocrine system or neuroendocrine system. There is a completely, totally, much more fundamental concept, if I can say vision, about what we mean by hormone and hormonal balance that encompasses so much more than you have the slightest clue about. Now, I'm putting that mildly, right? Which is kind of the way I do things, mildly, right? Okay. Hormonal balance. First of all, let's talk about the glands. Just a brief review. Get on my website, straighttalk.cc. Not .com, that's with two T's, straighttalk.cc. We're going all the way back to pre-dynastic Egypt today, because that's the last culture and one of the few that understood what we mean by hormone. We got to go back about 10, 12,000 years before we even get a clue. Wow. I hope that didn't flip your cereal upside down. We've got to go back to ancient, pre-ancient, what we have been supposedly told by archaeology is caveman days, to really understand what was going on with the hormonal system. People back then understood how to use the glandular system to live in their daily experience and how to align their glands with the sun and the stars and the moon and the earth and the plants and the animals to optimize your hormonal power, your balance, and ultimately your consciousness. But that's not what the woman in Long Beach with hot flashes is running off to see her holistic doctor regarding. She just wants a little progesterone cream to get through the day. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, except I am telling you that it gets you to first base, and you will stay at first base. It does not affect your bodily mechanisms in a way that will allow you to cure your own disease. You cure you through right action. It doesn't allow for that. It creates a misconception of what we mean by hormone in the first place. All right, let's take a look at picture number one. Go to picture number one. Just a little review for you guys that this may be so new to. Picture number one, we're looking at the glands of the body. Hypothalamus, pituitary, pineal, parathyroid. The hormones that come out of the kidney. Even the heart, the thyroid gland, the thymus, the adrenals. Hormones that are made in the digestive tract. Hormones like insulin and glucagon made in the pancreas. Of course, the testes and the ovaries. First rule, all the glands are talking to the other glands. No such thing as just looking at one gland at the exclusion of the others. Oh, I think it's my adrenals. Oh, I think it's my sex hormones. Oh, I think it's my pituitary. Oh, I think it's my thymus. Don't do that. That is short-sightedness. Do not think solely or largely in terms of targeting a particular gland. We do this all the time with thyroid. Terrible mistake. My thyroid's low because the test said so. So I'm going to have to take the natural stuff, the Westroid, the Naturethroid, the Armor, or the Levothyroxine, or the Synthroid. Terrible mistake. I don't care if it's biocompatible, if it's pig thyroid, or if it's what you make in a dirty lab. Doesn't matter. Yeah, the natural's better. But the point is, that's not the way to go about bringing up the thyroid. The thyroid, when it dips low, is the product of your faulty and depressed metabolism because of all the things in your health profile that need work. When was the last time you were told that your thyroid's low because you don't sleep? When was the last time you were told your insulin's too high consistently, so your thyroid's low? When was the last time you were told your thyroid's low because you're anemic? And so on and so forth. When was the last time you were told your thyroid's imbalanced because you clenched your teeth at night? And this is the point. Oh, my thyroid's low. Let's do something about my thyroid. Don't fall into that trap. And I'm not just talking about your allopathic Kaiser Permanente model. I'm talking about your holistic models, too. Whether it's the ZRT labs or the Canary Club or whoever and wherever and however you get your even your salivary hormonal panels. Yeah, I got my salivary hormonal panel, and I'm looking at all the free testosterone and T3 and this and that, and now I know what's wrong and what I'm going to do about it. You've got to change and deepen your understanding here, because those panels, when they're imbalanced, they only reflect much deeper, more far-reaching fundamental problems. I just named a few. Okay. Let's keep going. That's picture number one. Go to picture three. Look at that, the adrenal gland. The cortex making its glucocorticoids, specifically cortisol. Then we've got our aldosterone. That cortex is also going to put out a certain amount of testosterone and a certain amount of estrogen. I mean, that's out of your adrenal gland. So how can we talk about the adrenal gland without talking about the sex glands? How can we talk about the sex glands without talking about the adrenal glands? I'm going to spare you all of that. But understand, you got to get away from the notion of something's off with my estrogen, and something's off with my testosterone, and something's off with my thyroid. Stop that today. If you get that, you got everything. Go to picture number four just to review. This is just a warm-up to the show. This is not the show. This is just giving you a chance to review. We've got lots of listeners all over the world now. It's amazing to see how the show has grown over 4 years, 200 and something shows. You've got people healing their own bodies, taking responsibility for their own health through education. And that's where it's at in the future. Plug everything into that foundation, and you've got a bullseye. And I see people doing it more and more each and every week. I'm so happy to be participating in that. Of course, you have to have the right attitude. It's a big deal, attitude. The ancients had the right attitude. Picture four. The pituitary gland in the brain makes thyroid-stimulating hormone. That's to the thyroid gland it goes. And then the thyroid gland produces T4. And then T4 is converted to T3, mostly in the liver and somewhat in the intestines. Then that T3 is sensed by the hypothalamus. And if it's too high, then the hypothalamus tells the pituitary, tells the thyroid to slow down production. If it's too low, then we see the hypothalamus tell the pituitary to increase production in the thyroid. It's called a feedback loop. Great story a few months ago. Very nice young lady comes in, and she's been on the healthy thyroid, NatureThroid. Somebody put her on that because her thyroid was low. They said to her thyroid was low. And ever since she did it, her symptoms got worse. And she was quite confused about that. I'm sure her doctors were quite confused. And what happens when you bring in a solution, when you add hormone? I don't care if it's made in a lab or if it's pig thyroid, if it's a natural supplement, so to speak. It doesn't matter. You screw up your feedback cycle. You can't, if your thyroid is low, throw more thyroid in, have it go up to your hypothalamus, trick the hypothalamus into thinking you're fine, and then the hypothalamus tells your thyroid gland to slow down production because you tricked it. Now, that's respecting what we call the feedback cycle. Don't mess with it. Well, what do you do then? You get healthy. You get educated. We'll get into it more. If you're not sleeping, you're going to destroy your hormonal system. If your liver doesn't work, if you've got tons of xenoestrogens from foods, household chemicals, body sprays, if the landmass you're on is a Faraday cage, if you can't manipulate through a balanced bite and through breath your endocrine centers, if your insulin's high, if your cortisol is high, if you're sympathetic dominant, if you don't exercise, if you clench your teeth, if you've been on the birth control pill, worse yet, fertility drugs, if you're estrogen or testosterone dominant, if you're swimming in milligauss, if you don't understand what a telluric current is and a Schumann wave, if you don't know the difference between living in a pit somewhere of energetic muck versus a ley line or a Schumann wave, if you're not around the ocean, if you don't use stones, if you don't put your feet in the earth, there's just a little bit. That runs your hormonal system. So you have to think a little more. You got to expand your mindset when you feel that hot flash. When somebody tells you your adrenals are fatigued, when you know deep down inside your reserve energy is burned out, your glandular system, those glands, that's your reserve energy. It's not about burning out one. It's about collectively they're burned out. It's about collectively what are you going to do about it. The number one reason people do not heal chronic disease is they do not rest. And right there, we could collapse the entire medical industry, holistic and allopathic, on the back of that statement. They do not rest, and they are not happy. It's that simple. Now, what you do with that in modern-day culture, that's why we're running to superficial solutions. Because it's almost, think about this, it's almost become absurd to say you need to rest. You tell your average sick person you need to rest, they look at you like you're a retard. Well, I have to do this and I have to do that. It's as if we're telling slaves who live in chains the chain of industrial techno-society with all the responsibilities and burdens that come with it. It's as if we're telling slaves to take a day off. You have to think about that. You really have to, if you're sick, you really have to take that into yourself. Because it's become politically incorrect to tell somebody to move. It's become politically incorrect to tell somebody get a different job, quit, burn out a credit card, and take off 6 months. You can't say that. When doctors get together, no one talks like this. Because we all know our clients are going to tell us, I'll go somewhere else. It's absurd. That doctor told me to pack up and go live for Patagonia in Patagonia on $10,000 for 1 year. Oh, yeah, that is true. I spent that on my trip to Vegas. I did spend about 10 G's going to Hawaii. And my doctor told me to go spend $10,000 in a year somewhere on a farm in Patagonia or New Zealand or someplace where the air is completely and totally pristine, consistent with my anthropology, perhaps near a vortex, and where the cost of living is so cheap that I could live on $10,000 happily on real food for a year or 6 months. And yeah, I did spend that on my daughter's wedding, and I did spend that on my car, and I did spend that on the down payment to my house, and I did spend that on my vacation. I spent that on my retirement vacation. But you can't tell me to spend that on getting healthy, because I'm sure I can do it on these herbs. Or I'm sure that my allopath can handle my problem. If you are at the point where you're starting to see that your techniques, how you have approached your illnesses, doesn't work, I'm telling you why. Now, where are you going to hear that? Because there's really nothing to sell. There's nothing to sell here right now. Yeah, buy my subscription, right, for $25. That's a killer of an expense. And this is my point. Because if you really get honest with yourself as a healthcare provider, as a counselor, as a whatever you want to call yourself, you're running people through, and too many times people miss. And then we have these publications where all the doctors get together and talk about their insights into what it takes to heal, and we've got this huge vernacular of science. And I love it. I absolutely love the science. And I absolutely love plant medicine, plants. But the bottom line is when you really look at the results, they're not that impressive. Now, that's optimism. It is optimism. Because if you can take that in, then you can start to look where it really gets exciting. Where we're going to take the show today is exciting because it represents a time and phase in human history where people really understood what the glandular system was. So let's do this. Gee, you know, it always amazes me. I have no idea when I do a show where we're going to be going. Go to the top. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. I want you to go on this documentary. All right, now, this is taken from the Pyramid Code. Go to picture 18 first, the Pyramid Code. Go on Netflix and watch that. Buy the DVDs. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Carmen Bolter, this other gentleman here on picture 19. First name's, well, that's Hakim, they call him. He was a keeper, picture 19 there. He was a keeper of the ancient traditions of Egypt. He grew up in the tunnels of the pyramids. He grew up kissing the Sphinx every day, so to speak. He died after the Pyramid Code was completed. Get those DVDs, go on Netflix, and watch the Pyramid Code. Hakim was a keeper of the ancient pre-dynastic tradition. What does that mean? It means that the pyramids and the Sphinx, well, the pyramid at Giza supposedly was put up by a pharaoh at about 2500 BC. This is nonsense. Absolute nonsense. If you want to believe that, then believe the earth is still flat. If you want to believe that, then believe that the sun travels around the earth. If you want to believe that women have no brains and shouldn't vote. If you want to believe that everybody except, well, everybody except the Europeans are just third world dummies. Believe that if you really want to believe that the Sphinx and the pyramids went up around 2500 BC or so. It is nonsense. It will die. And it will die the way all old thinking dies. All the people that stick to it die. And they're replaced by kids who get degrees from good schools and who have their minds open when they're teenagers. And that's the history of scientific progression. Not so scientific, is it? Hakim, who you're looking at, goes back to the ancient pre-dynastic traditions. This is before archaeology knew what was going on there. And he has a whole other view. Please see it. Please see the pyramid code. Let's just take this. I want you to see how the ancient Egyptians, the pre-dynastic Egyptians, understood the glandular system. Now, I want you to go on that YouTube clip up top and go to 3 minutes and 30 seconds. If you can do that, follow. If you can't, just bear with it. Do the best you can. Go to 3 minutes and 30 seconds into it. So you've got to move your cursor to 3:30. And we're watching this now at about 3:30 or so. I'll turn mine off. And eventually what we're going to do at 3:30 is we're going to get, as soon as you get to 3:30, is we're going to get to the glandular centers. And they're going to talk, if you're seeing a woman there, that's Carmen Bolter. She's a doctorate in archaeology that's from the University of Calgary. And what she's talking about are the glandular centers. And she's basically saying that the ancient Egyptians understood that through a training that was done in conjunction with the pyramids and with the Sphinx, people learned to balance the hemispheres of their bodies. And in that balancing came a higher consciousness. And that higher consciousness, and really, if it's too confusing, you don't need to just turn your volume off and just look at the YouTube clip while I'm talking. And what she's going into is that in pre-dynastic times, so you're going back 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 BC. Yes, we are certain the Sphinx is much older than once stated. We're certain that it's been water eroded. We're certain. See this documentary and then look into all the tributaries of it and how many very intelligent people are amassing tremendous amounts of evidence to point out that there was a time that we're not learning about in the history books where the glandular centers were developed through training. And that training was done in conjunction with buildings, megalithic sites, the Sphinx, the Pyramid at Giza. There's hundreds of them in South America. We have Stonehenge in England. That training was done in conjunction with other trainings to basically get the individual to develop personal relationship with their glandular centers. Now, we see this today. We see remnants of this today with Tai Chi, with Qigong, with Kung Fu, with yoga, with breath work. We see remnants of it. But what it really represents is just a remnant tradition today that began with taking structures that we'd be very, very hard-pressed to build today, coordinating them with trainings that we gave to our doctors, trainings that we gave to our priests, our religious people, our spiritual people, trainings that we gave to those children, those indigos, those kids who were particularly gifted in the spiritual sense, trainings that we gave them at megalithic sites we constructed in ways that we cannot understand today, to talk to our glandular centers, to hopefully expand our consciousness and give us a better sense, and this is really the dynamic part of this, a better sense of the feminine. Point being, or one of the points being, that ancient Egypt was a matriarchy. Ancient Egypt was a culture that held the female in equality with the male, and that the male's job was to train his body so that he could expand and balance out his hemispheres. And this was understood through the science of his body. It wasn't just philosophy. It wasn't merely theology. It was literally science. It was more science, I will argue to you, than we apply today to the endocrine centers. And again, you see remnants of this tradition today in the various exercises of yoga, of qigong, of tai chi. So let's break it down a little bit more closely. Enough with the YouTube clip. I want you to go to picture number 32. Picture number 32, the planetary grid system. As you well know, the center of the Earth is metal, and it spins. I think it spins at about 10,000 miles an hour. The center of the Earth, the inner core of the Earth, has an outer core and an inner core. And the outer core of this inner mass is liquid, and it spins at about 10,000 miles an hour. And as metal spins, it generates an electromagnetic field. That field is our planetary grid system. And where you have very high concentrations of that, we create something called a ley line, L-E-Y line, ley line. L-E-Y line, a ley line. And those ley lines, where they intersect, now go to picture 22, where those ley lines intersect is where you have land masses that emit an electromagnetic field that will supercharge the high glandular centers, that allow for the potential to supercharge the high glandular centers. At the same time, we have places on the planetary grid that swallow up the glandular center, that either enhance the creative soul or destroy it, gobble it, engulf it. Where do you think the ancient churches were built? And where do you think the Sphinx was built? And where do you think the temples of South America were built? Any archaeologist will tell you that if they found a landmass where the caveman was erecting stone, and it was 7,000 BC, that it was followed by another mound in 5,000 BC, and that was followed by something more complicated in 1,000 BC, and by the time you get to 1500, now you have a cathedral on it. Any archaeologist will tell you that it is not a coincidence where we have built our places of worship. And that's because our culture, for thousands of years, has understood the concept of the ley line. that ley line and training your body have an enormously profound effect on balancing the endocrine system. It would be superfluous to do it without that. We have a culture today running around with their low libido and their hot flashes and their suppressed metabolisms, living in polluted cages, wrapped in steel, with their heads on cell phones and computers, running off to doctors for a little bit of thyroxine or testosterone or human growth hormone or the local herb. And this is what I mean. That is a reduction, a gross reduction of what it takes to promote, enhance, balance the hormonal system. To do that, you need to be at an energetic site, or at least have respect for such. To do that, you need to be in a place where you can receive the telluric currents of the earth. You need to be relatively free of the radiation we produce with cell phones, with computers, with so on and so forth. The EMF, here if you're at picture number 31, that's a Gauss meter from F.W. Bell. That's a 4180. It's $300 to ensure you where you sleep at night, what you drive in, your workplace is not loaded with harmful electromagnetic fields that come from faulty wiring and such. If you think about the pyramids, the Sphinx, and other megalithic structures, and you think about their relationship to the glandular system, as this episode clearly points out, and you think about people in these horrible caves in the inner cities under polluted skies, puzzled and depressed and frustrated at their ability to deal with all the varieties of problems that come from hormonal imbalance, it's almost laughable. And I point this out because we bring medicine to the rescue of these things with hormonal panels. And it is a very myopic thing to do. It is painful, if you have understanding, to have people come in with their little tests run by their holistic doctors or their allopaths, indicating that this is high and that's low and this is left and this is right and this is what we have to do about it, with the creams or the injections or the herbs or the rest of it. And it doesn't really work that way. So let's exalt a time when we did understand what to do about it. First concept, the earth emits what you call telluric currents. And they can concentrate in special ways, special places. If you go to picture 21, that's the band of peace. That was in pre-dynastic Egypt, where these megaliths were built along the Nile River in a way that allowed people to pursue their life in balance. A culture that was nothing less than a matriarchy, that understood that the cult of manhood was deeply integrated into understanding the power of knowing. To know, as Hakim says, you'll listen to him in episode 4 here that I put at the top, and that you'll hopefully watch. You'll listen to him say, to know is a great power. And when you look in his face, you'll know that the man knows. That he is not so impressed by ascertaining knowledge on the basis of his analytical mind, something that we in the West are absolutely consumed by. If it's not documented, if it's not studied, if the so-called science hasn't put its seal of approval on it, if so on and so forth hasn't occurred around council and then passed through 15 politically based institutions, it isn't reality. Could we be sold anything more heinous than that? More idiotic. And this is what he's saying. He's saying school teaches you to do research processes. Knowledge is at least in part a matter of cultivating what it is to know. And this is very related to the senses. And the senses are very related to the endocrine system. And all of this needed to be done in conjunction with the earth, the true earth. So we have telluric current, and then we have the stars. Go to picture 24. Picture number 24, the stars. The ancient pre-dynastic megalith builders understood how to align architecturally massive stone structures built with unprecedented precision, moved and quarried sometimes hundreds of miles, brought to elevations of 14, 16, 18,000 feet in ways that conquered slaves never would have succeeded at. I mean, we have been sold such a lie about how these things went up. And then had their structures put into a geometry for astrological reasons. Meaning the people that did it not only understood consciousness, they not only understood the glandular system, they not only understood how to train, but they understood cosmology. They understood how the stars aligned and what the significance of aligning structures to the gravitational and whatever other fields could be provided at certain times. And what you got out of that were people who developed a larger, more balanced sense of consciousness and who lived in much greater respect for ecosystems. Not to mention health and disease back then. What have we created today by working only one hemisphere of our brain? What have we created today by only focusing on the patriarchy, on rational, objective, scientific thought? At the condemnation, historically, the last 2,000 years of what we call the sacred feminine. And this is what the person who produced and is the creative force behind the Pyramid Code is effectively saying. Well, you've made a terrible mistake. If you're into holistic medicine, this is what you're into. If you are sensing that at 60, you shouldn't be shriveled on 10 meds and ready to die, this is what you're sensing. If you see our ecosystems disappearing, this is what you're sensing. If you see things like vaccinations being made mandatory, this is what you're sensing. If scientists are banding together to tell you that GMO'd foods and vaccines are national requirements, are not in any way, shape, or form contraindicated to the high levels of health, this is what you're seeing. You're seeing rational thought destroy intuitive faculties, and you know deep down inside there is something desperately wrong. The problem is we've developed this egotistic sense of the ancients knew less. And there are many, many, many scholars from many, many different places that see it very differently. Years ago in acupuncture school, go to picture 25, I met an Egyptologist named Kent Weeks. It's picture 25. This is back in 1995, 1996. Kent Weeks, go to picture 26. Had become famous. He uncovered Ramses' tomb. And Kent Weeks was under the benevolence of a benefactor by the name of Bruce Ludwig. Go to picture 29. Picture 29. Big, tall, 6'4", strapping, blue-eyed real estate mogul and philanthropist named Bruce Ludwig. There he is. That is what he looked like. I mean, he really was the Indiana Jones. I met him in the restaurant I worked in one night, and we had a very good relationship, however brief. It was for about a year. He would come in, and we would talk, and I was so interested in ancient Egypt that he brought his friend in, Kent Weeks, who's, of course, the Kent Weeks that had at that time just uncovered Ramses' tomb. And I remember the passion and sense of mystery that these guys had about whatever the ancient Egyptians were up to. Now, these were Christian men, born of European lineages. Kent Weeks hails from, I think, somewhere in Washington State, and as a little kid just got interested in ancient Egypt. But to talk to these men in their mid-50s, pushing 60, devoting already 25, 30 years of their life to digging in ancient Egypt. These men were not occultists. They were not screwballs. They were highly credentialed, highly respected professors in different universities, tenured throughout the United States and at the top of their field. And I will tell you from talking to them that they were deeply fascinated with the mystical aspects of the ancient Egyptians. And one of their pensions, I'll never forget the day Weeks telling me, one of his real attractions was ancient Egyptian medicine. So you have to understand the passion I bring to you today to see nothing less than 25, 30 years later, the pyramid code being produced, talking about glandular centers and how the Sphinx and the pyramids, all the pyramids, were used to train people to begin to talk to their hormonal systems. Now, if I was talking to you locked into a tenement in the inner city, I would say that in the interest of you understanding what it is to balance your hormone, again, what does it take to sleep? What does it take to enhance liver function? Because you can't balance hormone unless the liver functions optimally. What does it take to remove the estrogen mimetic foods, chemicals, body sprays, soaps? What does it take to purify your air? What does it take you to sleep or to live on a landmass that's at least clean and removed from your high concentration parts of Los Angeles? If you're in San Pedro and you're distraught, if you live in Torrance, if you live in Santa Monica and you're distraught, if you live in LA proper, downtown LA, and you're distraught because you can't get rid of your hot flashes no matter what you do, I am talking to you. Gentlemen, if you've got a little more estrogen circulating than you're supposed to, if your hormonal panels are imbalanced, if you're not the man you were 20 or 30 years ago, and nothing's worked, I'm giving you the format here. If you're running high insulin because you're running high blood sugar, if you're sympathetic dominant, meaning if you don't know what it is to relax your body. And if you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, and listen to the shows on sympathetic dominance, on high blood sugar, on the adrenal glands. And it isn't about at night spend an hour meditating or taking a walk in the park. I mean, we have these really ridiculous notions that you can't call ridiculous, right? You can't say to somebody it's ridiculous for you to take a 20-minute walk at your lunch break instead of sitting at your desk under fluorescent light. You can't say that. It's not politically correct. But I'm telling you, it doesn't work. What you're up against is so much bigger than what these little first base remedies are going to do. And yet we have a culture today that is so interested in political correctedness that the minute you say you're wasting your time, well, you're just out of line. You see, and this is the problem, because we're not dealing with the real solutions. And the proof is in the pudding. We're not getting results. You're talking about exercise. You don't balance hormones unless you get in to that phase of exercise where you're really moving your body. You know that 3-4 times a week where you just feel good to move your body and you notice you're toning and you're dropping fat and you're just more relaxed and in a better mood because you're moving your body, where you're starting to need that each and every day. If you're clenching your teeth, do something to stop it. Yeah, you clenchers. People clench because they're angry. They're angry because they can't resolve what makes them clench. It's that simple. Forget all this hocus pocus about parasite problems and thyroid problems. 98% of people who clench are angry. And you're working it out in your dream state and you're clenching. And it's that simple. Get that fixed, because if you clench, you will lock down through your cranial rhythms. You will lock down your thyroid. You will shut your hypothalamus off. You will stop the sanctity of those feedback loops. If you've been on the birth control pill, it doesn't matter if you stopped 10 years ago. Your liver will be a mass of coagulated blood. Your blood viscosity will be off the chart. There's no such thing as balancing hormone until you've really purified that liver if you've been on the birth control pill that long. And that's the same thing for testosterone-dominant males. If you make a lot of testosterone, if you're one of those guys that does, in modern-day society, with all the perils, that testosterone will not be sufficiently conjugated through the liver. That's a big, big, big deal. If you go to the top of my page here, click to view full article on liver and hormone balance, look at this. Just read this. Get the article yourself and really just chew it up. Abstract. The normal liver function depends on the amount of hormone in the blood, which is regulated not only by the glands, but by the liver itself to a large degree. I want you to read that. Read that in the context of your concern about hormonal balance. You just decided there's something wrong with your hormonal balance. You went and paid for one of those tests. And now that you're high in this and low in that, et cetera, et cetera, your doctor's decided to give you the creams. And no one's really mentioning liver. Or we're mentioning it and then pushing it under the rug. It's telling you, this is PubMed. These are peer-reviewed journals. This is not the quack magazines. This is not someone's opinion. This is stuff that's studied, and it's telling you in plain living color, if you're looking to balance your hormone, you have to consider the role of the liver, efficiency through the biliary system, efficiency through the detoxificatory conjugated aspects of liver function. The hormone content may in the blood be normal, but when liver function But when the EG function is increased, if the liver removes them intensively, inactivates them and excretes them in the bile. That's if the liver does it. If the hormonal excess exceeds the regulatory capacities of the liver, their level in the blood increases, and you got big problems. So you want to talk about hormonal balance? Don't talk about the hormones. Talk about the liver. Blood sugar's got to get down to under 90 all day long. Doesn't matter before and after you eat. You measure it an hour after you eat, it's got to be 90. It's got to be under 100. Those insulin blood sugar spikes will destroy hormonal balance. Sleep, a lack of it. 6, 7, 8 straight hours. If you're not sleeping, why focus on hormonal panels and hormonal creams instead of focusing on what it takes to get a good night's sleep? If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get on my website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc with two T's. Listen to all the 200-plus shows. Everything I mention here is a show. Today's content, really, every word is another show. You've got to get educated. If you're over your head and you have right attitude, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. 1-800-273-1007. If you think your hormones are out of balance, sit down with me and let me run through the specifics of your health portfolio. And right living and the right changes in what you do with your time, with your energy, and your money. That's how you balance hormone. And that can include herbs. There's nothing wrong with using plants. But you have to have perspective. What you pay for is perspective. What you pay for is intelligent counsel. That's the mindset you have to bring. Because that's where your body figures out ways to cure you. We have this notion that therapies cure people. Therapies do not cure people. Doctors do not cure people. I do not treat disease. I do not cure disease. I look at you like a body that's off track, that's not doing the things that your body needs to do so it can regulate itself. And that's where you see people's illnesses disappear. Of course, this is about a myriad of choices, and there are many, 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 many misconceptions and many entrapments. And that's what you have to come to terms with if you're one of those people who are serious. So look at that. Look at that. Exercising. To exercise is to build neurotransmitter. To exercise is to change the number of receptor sites involved in neurological, endocrinological transmissions. Your cortisol, your thyroxine, your estrogen, each and every hormone you secrete has to bind to a receptor site. That receptor site cannot be competed with by toxic estrogen or hormonal mimetic competitors. And if you're off in the melee of that, in other words, if in fact you've been exposed over the years to lots of extra hormonal mimicking compounds, it changes the number of receptor sites. So just because you move and remove those xenoestrogenic chemicals out of your body, you've got to wait to remodulate at the receptor site. So I'm getting a little scientific, but the bottom line is the process through which you balance hormone is an evolution. It doesn't occur in 1 week or 6 weeks. Again, it's your education that you're depending on to understand that. To understand a receptor site, the point to which a neurotransmitter binds or a hormone binds. It's received. How many sites are there? When women are estrogen dominant, they have many more receptor sites. And that is good, and that is bad. O bloods particularly. An estrogen dominant O blood female, O bloods are designed to move vigorously. If their blood is not moving, it will always be too viscous. It will get too thick. Your Latinos, your African Americans, your Southern Europeans, your Middle Easterners, darker-skinned people have thicker blood. They do. And they put a lot of estrogen and a lot of testosterone into their blood. And if they're O blood on top of that, the viscosity to their blood, if they don't move, destroys their hormonal balance. They are the first to grow the breasts, cystic, the ovarian cysts, the endometriosis, so on and so forth. So exercise, because it decreases blood viscosity, purifies and sends enough blood sufficient for the liver to conjugate it and take the excess hormone out. Or it's like that article I showed you. This is in my opinion. This is just the product of putting it together for you. So you understand my concern for you. To reduce these conversations to people, good people, lost in hormonal imbalance, running around in EMF-infested, smog-polluted, high-stress, sedentary environments, wrapped with their hands on computers all day, and then expecting a little progesterone cream to get rid of a hot flash, or a little bit of human growth hormone to recycle them back into their youth, is what Beverly Hills and Park Avenue, Madison Avenue, are going to sell you. And at best, you're going to get the first base on it. And it is disrespectful to cultures that revolved their entire society at one point around the same concerns in far more far-reaching and profound ways. And yet, you have to go all the way back to pre-dynastic, before archaeology measured, is where you have to go. See the pyramid code. If you see nothing else, episode 4. Get to know the names of the people. Wake up to the past, because the past is the future. Okay. Go to picture 10. That's in Maine. Go to picture 9. That's Mount Shasta. Go to picture 11. That's Calabria, Italy. Go to picture 12. Do that. Go up to Ojai. Find a waterfall. Put your feet in the water. And watch all that hormonal toxic mess just drain out of your body. And dream. And think about the changes you're going to make in your life over the next 5 years. So that you can really have the experience as you were intended to. 714-850-1007. Love the show. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.